VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us again here on Crosstalk. Last week, we asked the question, whatever happened to the New World Order with our special guest, Gary Kah? Well, we examined some of what was going on politically, economically, and also spiritually to bring about this one world system, the New World Order. Certainly not comprehensive, but scratched the surface on that idea. One of the things our guest pointed out is that globalists did not have Donald Trump in their plans, as they had been very intentionally, intentionally bucking their agenda with an America First agenda, and literally has thrown a monkey wrench into the mix. Well, much has happened even in the last several days as the G7 has met, the Bilderberg Summit has met, the president's meeting with the leader of North Korea, and other events taking place. And so we're going to delve right back into it, but focus today on countering the globalist agenda. We do welcome back Gary Kah, founder and director of Hope for the World. As we mentioned last time, Gary is a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government. He did travel to a number of countries, worked with U.S. embassies, in the area of export promotion. Back in the mid-80s, uncovered information regarding the printing of a new U.S. currency. Saw this was also lining up with what other nations were doing. And Gary himself was even invited to join the World Constitution Parliament Association, one of the groups that was very much involved at the forefront of promoting a world government agenda. Well, Gary has been exposing a lot of what's transpired not only back then, but today as well. He's the author of several books, is perhaps the most well-known that when it came out, En Route to Global Occupation. Gary, nice to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
Gary, before we get back into this matter of countering the globalist agenda, comment, if you would, on this recent G7 event. President Trump, did not join lock, step, and barrel with the other nations, especially on issues pertaining to trade.
That's right. This is a meeting that has been held annually since the early 1970s. I think this was their 44th meeting, if I'm not mistaken, held up in Quebec, Canada. And you have Canada, the United States, Germany, the UK, France, Italy, and Japan, who make up the G7. Russia was in. They called it the G8 for a while, or the Group of Eight, and they were booted out a couple of years ago. But together, these nations represent about 62% of the global net wealth. And so the decisions that are made there impact the entire world. And generally speaking, these leaders for some time now, most of them, if not all of them at times, have been supportive of the globalist agenda. So President Trump went into that meeting probably knowing that they would try to counter him and come up against him on a number of different fronts. And, you know, you have to understand what President Trump is trying to do. I believe he is in favor of fair, free trade. He's not saying, let's stop free trade, but he's saying there's got to be some balance in things. Mm-hmm. And one thing the media has not been sharing, for example, is that Canada, as well as the EU, already had thousands of tariffs leveled against the United States, and you won't hear that. I believe the number is either 9,000 or 19,000 tariffs. I can't remember which, but it's in the thousands. Canada, for example, has a 270% tariff on dairy products going into Canada from the United States. 270%. And meanwhile, the United States, easily enough, has put up with just about everything coming from other countries. So all the president is trying to do is get some of that back and level the playing field a little bit. But him just trying to do that, to a degree, you know, met a drastic response from the leaders there, and especially Justin Trudeau, who I believe is going to pay a price for what he has said, because when people begin to analyze the situation, they realize that the U.S. has been more than generous on every front, mm-hmm. and it's time that we get some of our industries back that have all but shriveled up because of unfair trade practices.
There have been some pretty sharp back and forth with Canada. We had Larry Kudlow speak of Canada's prime minister as double-crossing President Trump. We've heard the word betrayal, dishonest, weak, even a sophomoric political stunt for domestic consumption. Pretty sharp words against our neighbor to the north.
It is, and Canada has been a solid ally for many years. But people here in this country need to understand there are a whole bunch of Canadians that are upset with Trudeau as well. And it's not just some folks here in the U.S. And he was very fortunate to even get into power. And a lot of people don't like what he's doing up there. And he's very inexperienced and has made some bad decisions already on a number of fronts. And so trying to take on the U.S. rather than to work with the U.S. and then bring about some more fair trade practices, I don't think it's going to bode well for him in the long run. However, I think one reason he was emboldened to make some of the statements that he did against the U.S. and President Trump is because he sensed overall support from some of the other leaders who were there at the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's popular to team up against the Trump administration. You've got, if you do so, you've got 80-90% of the media on your side. You've got virtually all of Hollywood on your side. You've got the liberal professors in universities throughout the country on your side. So it's easy to jump on board and bash Trump. But when you look at what he's really trying to do, I'm in favor of it. But let me say this, Jim. He has to walk very, very carefully right now because I personally believe, this is just my opinion, but I believe there are powerful globalists who actually want to see a trade war and use that to bring down the global economy or at least to take it to the brink so that they can then introduce their new world economic system, saying we have to replace the existing system because it failed, and all the while they would point the finger at Donald Trump and say it's because of him and because of his insistence on promoting nationalism or the U.S. first. And so they actually, I believe, want President Trump to step into a trap of sorts. So if he pushes it too far, it actually could backfire and unravel because they want it to. So he has to be careful. The goal here should be not to get rid of free trade, but just to make it more fair and I don't want to use the word tinker with it here and there, but make the necessary adjustments and bring things a little bit back more toward the United States rather than going all out and then allowing that to result in a trade war, which would come back on him, unfortunately.
When you speak of the finances of the world, is it true that nations at one time that would give way to the agendas of the UN or New World Order would get some sort of debt forgiveness for their nations? Has that ever been?
That was true with some of the third world countries. In past decades, they have been treated with favor. And some of them have been lured into the trap thinking if this new world order ever comes about that they'd make out like bandits. And that's what's been promised to some of these nations. But what happens is the leaders end up getting wealthy. They put themselves in the middle of the whole situation. Whenever you have tens of millions of dollars exchanged in countries that have dictators and third world nations, somehow those dictators end up benefiting from it, but the people don't. And so that I believe that's been a huge trap.
And then when we look at our own situation here in the United States, to over $21 trillion in debt, climbing rapidly, Gary, many have thought this could lead us toward a collapse as well, and such that it would put us into having to clamor towards some kind of new world economic system.
Well, that's just it. This has been many years in the making, and a number of conservative economists, maybe 8 to 10 years ago or so, said that when things get to around, I think they said 24 trillion, something like that, it was in the mid-20s, they felt that would be the point of no return, that the scales would tip at that point, and there's just no way of climbing out of it. And so again, making the decisions along the way for so many decades that have gotten us into this mess, there's no easy way to get out of it now. And I do believe that the agenda, and I would say that Satan's agenda, was to get the world in such a situation that the old order fails, or at least appears to be failing, And then he can come in and introduce the new order, and people will accept it because they think they have to, because the old one is broken and it's going to end up throwing the world into poverty. And so that's always how it works. You put doubt on the old and then introduce the new the way you want it, and then move forward with it. And every time that happens, every time there's a major crisis, every time there's a world war, you look at World War One. It resulted in the League of Nations, the first big step toward world government. After World War Two, you had the United Nations birthed, a second, much bigger step toward world government. So I believe in their line of thinking, a third major global conflict, coupled perhaps with an economic crisis, would set the stage then for an all-out form of world government in the name of maintaining world peace and bringing law and order and revamping the global economic system that failed. That's how these people work, and it's easy to see that trend. Every time there's a crisis, they lunge in and they move things forward.
Well, coupled with this G7 event going on, we know also that the Bilderberg Summit was going on in Italy, and a spokesman came out and said the meeting was a great success, and we looked at The Guardian, said that there's been considerable interest in the topic of artificial intelligence, China, Russia, and other nations investing very significant funds into AI, artificial intelligence, in order to increase military capabilities that they see as a means to disrupt the superiority of the U.S. military. So in addition, they had discussions on quantum computing and keeping up with the latest tech developments. Any comment here on the Bilderberg summit last week?
Well, it's interesting that so much of the focus was on that. And, of course, technology is increasing so rapidly that it's more than scary, quite honestly. I mean, I don't want to put fear into anybody, and we've got kids and grandkids, and you try to stay upbeat, you know, but when you look at what's coming down the pike, and what they're talking about more and more is interfacing with the human mind and downloading, literally downloading thoughts out of the human brain. They're experimenting on that and making significant progress to the point where some of these individuals believe that within 5 to 10 years that you can hook a computer up to a human and just download their thoughts, maybe not all of them, but some of them. If they can really do that, it gives new meaning to what the Bible said regarding the building of the Tower of Babel. Remember, the Lord said, if we allow this to move forward, anything will be possible for them. Well, when I was younger, I thought, why would the Lord not want, you know, humankind to advance and get smarter and use technology and so forth? But the fact is, whenever technology increases and man invents new products, it seems as if the world gets smaller, it becomes more controllable, and when you realize we're moving toward an antichrist world system, these new developments that are coming online here and are just around the corner, they're going to make it much easier for Satan to control mankind, and that's what the Bible prophesied would be the case in the last days. And so it's not a positive development, it's just a development where we're going to be giving up more and more of our freedoms, our privacy. And, you know, when you're dealing with machines now being created that they believe will soon be able to read people's minds, so to speak, a few years back we would have said never. You know, that's impossible. It's not going to happen. But now it's just around the corner.
Gary Kahn with us today. And after the break, folks, we're going to take a look at countering the globalist agenda, what President Trump has been doing, throwing a monkey wrench certainly into the works of the globalist agenda. We know, though, what is going to happen in the end times, but certainly interesting to observe what's taking place. And we'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the Ice Age really happen?
Yes, indeed, Chris. There's a great deal of evidence that the Ice Age really happened. It wasn't long ago. It was at the end of Noah's flood. It probably took several hundred years for the Earth to settle back down into the equilibrium we now experience. That readjustment period was primarily the Ice Age. The real key for the Ice Age is more evaporation from the ocean waters, making huge storms of snowfall possible. But the continents were cold, making the storms violent and prolonged. Also, late in the flood was a time of great volcanism, meaning that the Earth's atmosphere was cloudy and shielded the Earth from the sun. So there was more snowfall, less snow melt, and the ice built up. This would have happened in the centuries following the flood. And that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Gary Kai is with us. He's founder and director of Hope for the World, and his website, GaryKai.org. Now, Gary, we're talking about some things that may sound like doom and gloom, yet your ministry is called Hope for the World. Do you live your life in despair?
No, not at all. And I thank the Lord He's given us a sense of humor and also a lot of faith and confidence in Him. And I'll tell you, when you look at all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled that were given in the Old Testament, about 300 of them, there's no reason to believe that the prophecies given in the New Testament will not also be fulfilled.
Amen.
And it all concludes with the Lord returning and putting an end to this world system and ushering in His kingdom on this earth. That's exciting to know that that's what's going to happen ultimately. But between now and then, we live in a fallen world, and we have to deal with it. But thank the Lord, if we are His, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, and we have no reason to fear. In fact, a great passage of Scripture is from 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind."
Amen.
And we need to keep that thought always at the forefront.
Well, Gary, let's talk about President Donald Trump. I mean, he really was not in the plans for these globalists for him to assume the presidency here. He's really thrown a monkey wrench into their plan in countering the globalist agenda.
Yes, he is. In fact, that was the title of an article I wrote a few months back, Countering the Globalist Agenda, and people can read the whole thing at our website at GaryKai.org. If you click on the right side of the homepage under recent articles, you can read the entire article. But just a few of the things that he has accomplished against great odds. You know, he has had to spend half of his time just defending himself, and yet he's appointed Neil Gorsuch, a conservative judge to the Supreme Court, appointed what somewhere between 40 and 50 now, I believe, Christian-friendly federal judges throughout the U.S. He's slashed burdensome red tape regulations imposed by federal bureaucrats over the years. In fact, for every one new regulation that comes online, they have to get rid of two. And my understanding is so far it's been more like three or four that have been cut out to every one new one that's added. And that has freed up businesses in a huge way. I believe that's the single biggest reason why the economy is thriving right now. He pushed through a tax bill, again, that has helped some economic growth in creating more jobs. We have 3.8% unemployment now, which I know as an economics major, that's considered full employment. Between 3 and 4% is considered full employment. And we still have 6.3 million unfilled jobs right now in the United States, and we're near full employment. That's incredible. He also expanded the 529 college tax deduction to include deductions for families who send their kids to private and secondary schools. He's accelerated the move toward American energy independence. He took steps to reduce illegal immigration, which is down quite a bit compared to where it was a few years ago, and he's trying to do more to secure the border. He's apprehended, prosecuted many violent gang members, belonging to various criminal gangs such as MS-13. Of course, there's the current meeting going on with Kim Jong-un, which I think there will be some good results coming out of that meeting. He's also put heat on Iran by making it more difficult for parties to assist and do business with that regime. On and on, you know, he also, I like this one, he officially withdrew the U.S. from UNESCO, UN's propaganda arm. That's huge. And that organization, by the way, a lot of people are not aware of it. It's not headquartered in New York. It's still headquartered in Paris. And that's where a lot of the orders are coming from. UNESCO is really the brains behind the UN. That's where, you know, their agenda gets pushed, and a lot of people believe where it gets originated from. And so even though the UN is in New York, a lot of the decisions, I believe, are still made over in Europe. And then, you know, that's not to speak of situation with Israel. He's bolstered our support of Israel, agreeing that Jerusalem is its rightful capital. And then in May, we opened up the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. I was actually part of that celebration. I was at a meeting in Washington, D.C., with a number of Christian leaders and a few Jewish representatives representing the Israeli government. And we watched the speech live in Washington as President Trump was giving it in Israel. And then I was invited to a reception by the Israeli embassy along with a number of other people. And it was just an amazing time. People, they felt like they, you know, were pinching themselves. Is this really happening, you know, after all these years that the U.S. is finally agreeing that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and moving the U.S. embassy there. So President Trump has been unafraid to do the difficult things. He knew he would take heat on most of these matters, this list of things I just went through, but he's done it anyway. And I don't want to build up any one person as if they're somehow, perfect or everything they're going to do is perfect, but I do believe this president thus far has gotten a raw deal from the media, and we need to stand with them where we can on these important issues.
Well, 90% of the stories have been negative, written by the media. Gary, is the United States of America the last place of resistance to this new world order? Are there other nations that are standing up in opposition?
Well, there are a few island nations and small, very sparsely populated nations that are taking a stand, but really we're the main country, it's fair to say that. When it comes to moving their embassies to Jerusalem, there were a few nations that joined us at the last minute, some of them, the Czech Republic and Hungary, I believe, and also Guatemala and Honduras and a couple of the Pacific Island nations, and that's been about it so far. Our closest allies, they haven't budged. In fact, they came against us for doing so. And I think one reason for that is they've got increasing Muslim populations. Audrey and I just got back from the UK, 2 weeks ago today. And every cab driver we had was from Pakistan. And, they were nice enough and kind enough to us, but it just showed us how far Islam has gone in London. I mean, there are areas in London where the entire neighborhoods are completely Islamic, and some of those Muslims are what I would call moderate Muslims, but a very significant percentage of them are radical. And so now, basically, the leaders are in a position where they're being blackmailed. They know if they push too far in any one direction, they're going to get a big backlash and a new wave of terrorism coming against them. Germany, especially, with what Merkel has done over there. Many of the German people, and I have cousins over there still that I'm close to, they're up in arms. They can't believe she let in so many people without checking most of them out first. And so crime has gone up. They've got problems left and right, and they don't know how to deal with it now. Because if you try to export all these people back out, you know, how do you go about doing that once they're there? Finland brought in I think they committed to bringing in 10,000 Muslim refugees, and after they got to a few thousand, they realized they had made a mistake, and they began paying people to leave. They've been trying to get those who they let in to get out of the country by giving them financial incentives. And that's not to say, I mean, some Muslims genuinely are being persecuted by other Muslims, and I do believe we should help where we can. But the sad thing in all this is the Christians have been the worst persecuted. They've got almost no help except from some relief organizations from the U.S. and not much beyond that. People like Franklin Graham, who have ministered in the Sudan and realize what it's like in places like that, have done everything they can to help Christians that are being persecuted in the Middle East and a number of other organizations as well. But our governments have done very little. And I know President Trump is trying to do something to open up the door more to Christians coming in, because under the Obama administration, almost all of the refugees that were brought in from Syria and Iraq were Muslims. And you know, even though Christians needed the help the most.
Yeah, and folks, keep in mind, as this summit is going on, it's not going to be a one-day event, but as things continue to progress here, be praying that this whole issue of human rights abuses and Christian persecution in North Korea will be addressed repeatedly as this goes on. Gary, I wanted to ask another question, and that is, as President Trump here has been countering the globalist agenda, we know his time is limited in Washington, D.C. as well. But one thing I want to point out is that globalists have not set aside their agenda. They haven't said, well, I guess we have to put things on hold for 4 years or 8 years. I find it's also interesting to note that things are regularly happening. We saw that there's going to be a socialism conference taking place in Chicago July 5th through the 8th, over 150 meetings, left-wing authors and thinkers having discussions on Marxism, working class history, debates and strategies for organizing. It's going to be at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, but they had a banner across their announcement here. It looks like could be their theme, which is another world is necessary. I mean, this program is marching forward whether Donald Trump's in the White House or not.
No, that's right. And I saw a survey maybe two or three months ago of freshly graduated college students, and something like 25 or 30% of them were willing to call themselves socialists. And so what was a dirty word when you and I were growing up, which clearly stood directly opposed to our open, free market system, they are for. And again, the colleges are to blame for a lot of this because of the liberal teachings that are going forth through the professors. And so over time, over decades, this has had a huge impact, and these people end up being major media figures and going on to become leaders also even of church denominations and filtering into the World Council of Churches. Chicago had another meeting. You and I talked about this off the air a moment ago. June 6th through the 8th is called the Chicago Forum on Global Cities. And at that meeting were mayors of large cities from around the world. And the whole purpose of the meeting was to see how international cities and the mayors of international cities could help to shape national foreign policy to move things in the direction of a one world system. So, you know, one way or another, they're going to try to get the job done. If they can't go through you, they try to go around you. The Trump administration is a huge nuisance to them right now. They hope they can gain back Congress in midterms. We'll see what happens. But I'll tell you this, they will stop short of nothing to get out the vote. They will bus every last person they can to the polls, and they'll get a lot of absentee ballots mailed in, you know, beginning a month or so before the election. So I wouldn't be surprised if 10 or 20% of the left has already voted before Election Day comes, because they learned their lesson last time. A lot of left-wingers stayed home. They thought Hillary was a shoo-in. And as a result, they lost. And I don't think they're going to make the same mistake again. So the only way to counter that effectively is every conservative, every Christian needs to get out there this fall and vote, or else we're going to lose possibly the House, possibly the Senate. I hope not. We can actually gain seats in the Senate if things fall the right way, if enough people get out and vote. And so that would send a huge signal to the globalists and the socialists. And it would allow the president to get more accomplished in the couple of years that follow.
Gary Kaz, our guest here today. We're going to open our phone lines here, and you can get on board here. We'll pick up some calls after the break. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Folks, a one-world system is being pushed on many different fronts, a financial front, a political front, and, yes, a religious front. We addressed these different prongs in our recent program last Thursday. Many issues here at stake, and we're going to take your calls, your questions, comments here following the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Have you ever had someone attempt to talk to you about the Watchtower Society or the Book of Mormon? Or perhaps a friend has told you they've started yoga and invite you to participate. You know you heard something about these religions and teachings, but never had the material in your hand to give a biblical response to their teachings. Well, now you can. Two world-renowned researchers, Dr. Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, have teamed up to write Fast Facts on False Teachings, an easy-to-use resource guide that gives you quick, clear facts about several cults and false teachings. You'll find chapters on atheism, Freemasonry, Hinduism and yoga, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and much more. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available for a donation of $16 or more by writing VCY America at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208. To make your donation by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Ka is with us today. Ka is spelled K-A-H. Ka, K-A-H. His website, GaryKa.org. Gary, you put forth a periodic a newsletter. It's more than just a letter. It's voluminous. But tell our listeners how they can obtain that.
Yeah, we call it our research news journal. It's usually about 16 to 20 pages. It's called Hope for the World Update. And we usually have about 10 or 12 articles in each issue written by some of the best Christian authors and thinkers from around the world. And typically I write the lead article and cover a lot of current events going on and what the Lord lays on my heart. People can subscribe to it at our website, again, which is GaryKa.org. And in doing so, you'll get these quarterly publications. We encourage you to get them out to other people. And in doing so, you'll also help our efforts. This is how we keep going and do what we do. So we would appreciate your assistance in that regard as well.
Okay, again, that's Gary Ka, K-A-H, .org. Let's go to the phone lines. William is calling from East Troy, Wisconsin. You're on the air, William.
Yeah, Gary, thank you so much. I've read your book, En Route to Global Occupation, years ago, and it's really helped me with understanding the facts of what's going on. But I have like a combination question. The Pope is a globalist, environmentalist, socialist. Angela Merkel is a globalist, socialist, environmentalist. And Mikhail Gorbachev ran an organization called Green Cross that you brought out before. What is he doing these days, and how does all of this environmentalism tie into the New World Order?
Thank you, William.
Well, thanks for the question. Yeah, Gorbachev is still at it, although not at the pace that he was once pushing all of this, because he's getting well up in years. And really, I'd say Tony Blair is doing as much as anyone I know. He's doing what Gorbachev was doing 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And all these people, they're pushing that same agenda. And one of their thoughts is if they can convince the people of the world that unless we have a world government that can, quote-unquote, solve the environmental crisis, we're going to destroy ourselves. Unless they can get people to believe that, they won't be able to bring about the New World Order. So the environment has been one of the top three or four areas where they have been hard at work in. In fact, something interesting, back in the 80s, when I was invited to join the World Constitution of Parliament Association, they put out a list of 49 reasons for why we need world government. It was not a public list yet at that time, but it was distributed among members. And about a third of those had to do with the environment. And they were using the term global warming and climate change and stuff like that way back in the 80s, 15 to 20 years before they ended up being used publicly, those same terms. So this has been part of the agenda, I believe, all along, trying to convince people that we need to have a world government to solve the environmental crisis, to solve the coming economic crisis, to solve, to bring about lasting world peace so that allegedly there can't be any more wars among nations, and also to solve the world poverty and hunger situation. So basically, any problem there is in the world, they're promoting world government as the solution. Mm-hmm. And what is not being told people is that many of these globalists are themselves helping to create these problems so that they can then come in with the alleged solution on their own terms. And that's the biggest of the deception.
Thank you, William, for the call. Matter of fact, Mikhail Gorbachev turned 87 this past March, Gary, and in doing so, he has been devoting decade after decade of his life toward this world government as well. Let's see, we've got Mark in Monroe. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, my question is this. You know, I'm trying to distinguish who exactly the powerful globalists are. Are they more so the already named existing leaders, or are they even more so like the George Soroses, or are they actually more so unnamed entities that prefer to be out of the limelight, you know, like a deep state?
Thank you, Mark. Gary.
That's a great question, and that's why it took me 6 years to write my book, because of the research I had to keep digging and digging and digging because I wanted to get it accurate. What you have to – Pope Francis is completely sold out to the one world cause. So as the lead Catholic right now, many of my Catholic friends, they're going to have to make decisions on that front, because if you follow the Pope's lead, you're going to be supporting the globalist agenda. For years, a number of Catholics told me, all the way back to the late 80s, early 90s, they believed that the day would come when there might be a Jesuit Pope who would support the one world cause openly. And it's amazing. Now you've got a Pope like that, and I believe that's one reason the globalists are pushing so hard right now, because if they could, they'd like to bring their New World Order about while he is in office, because he's very supportive. The previous Pope, although I disagreed with him on some things, he made a few strong statements, taking a stand on a couple of things, and that was enough. That's all it took, and next thing you knew, he was out, and the current Pope was in. To continue on in addressing other parts of your question, I believe some of the most powerful people pushing the globalist agenda are behind the scenes. I'll give you just one example. Years ago, I was involved in an organization that was part of our emergency management network in the United States. But today, that organization would be under Homeland Security. This was back between 1988 and 1991. At one of the luncheons I attended, a prominent speaker was brought in. It probably took a good 5 minutes for him to be introduced, because he had so many awards that he had received from the United Nations. But his single biggest achievement and claim to fame was that he had served in every administration, Democrat or Republican, since FDR. Hmm. The guy was probably in his late 70s at that time. I'll tell you his name. It was Leo Chern, C-H-E-R-N, and I think it might have ended with an E, C-H-E-R-N-E. I'd never heard of the guy, and yet behind the scenes, he was one of the most powerful globalists on the scene. And the statements he made during that luncheon, I could not believe he was even saying. We were encouraged not to take notes beforehand. They said we'd receive a transcript. Well, months passed afterwards before we got the transcript, and when we got it, all of the most controversial statements he had made were edited out. So had I not been at that meeting personally, there would be no way for me to know what was said. And one of the things was he said, I'm paraphrasing now because it's been so long, but he said something to the effect that we in the United States needed to move away from our Judeo-Christian ethic and begin to embrace the beliefs of the Eastern nations if we were going to succeed in coming into the New World Order and be competitive down the road. I mean, he made statements on religion, politics, very controversial statements, and what was most disturbing is he got a standing ovation afterwards. And at the time, I already was on to things, you know, where this organization was going and had problems, issues with it, but I didn't want them to be aware where I stood on everything, because I was still gathering information. And so I thought, Lord, what do I do? I don't want to compromise before you, but I don't want to show my hand either. So I ended up standing, but I couldn't bring myself to clap. I felt that if I would have clapped, I'd be betraying my country as well as the Lord. But this is the kind of stuff that was going on already back under Bush Sr. Between 1988 and 1991. The two people who briefed us in our main meeting, which was held at the Army War College at Fort McNair in Washington, he was under a fellowship with the Rockefeller Foundation. The other individual was a prominent member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Both of them were staunch globalists, and these were the people who were brought in to brief us. And so some of us began thinking, you know, if we ever are in a national crisis, If these people are the ones in charge or calling the shots, we're sunk because they're more devoted to the UN than they are to the U.S. Constitution of the United States. So, again, most of these people were behind-the-scenes people. You would not have known their names. But then there are also people like the George Soroses, some of the Carnegies and Rockefellers, their foundations that have supported this agenda over the years. So it's all of the above.
Yeah, the 20 Blairs and so forth as well. Mark,
exactly.
Thank you so much for the call. Ron is calling from Mansfield, Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Ron.
A wonderful program. As a retired lawman, and I love this globalist idea, and my only question is, how do the globalists stand on the right of honest citizens to keep and bear arms in their homes and on their persons?
It's not really part of the program, is it, Gary?
No, it's not. Although some of the fringe globalists that are what I would say at the lower level of all this and are naive and don't realize what this agenda is really all about and what some of the people above them are pushing, they would probably say, it's okay to keep your arms for strictly hunting purposes if it's very strictly regulated. But the deeper you get into all of this, you've got radicals in the One World far-left movement that just want to banish all guns completely and just let the military have it. And then, of course, you end up with a situation where if you have a global dictatorship and a global military that rules, you're sunk. There's no way to fight back. And, you know, a controversial thought, but true, our founding fathers, the reason they wanted us to be able to have the right to bear arms, yes, it was to be able to defend yourself against common criminals, but I believe more than that, it was to defend yourself against a government that goes rogue, that tries to force a dictatorial type of system upon the people. And I believe that's one reason the NRA has been taking the stand that they have, because our founding fathers intended that citizens are able to be armed in a way that's comparable to the military of a country. Because, again, so that they have a fair fight if it ever came down to it. And that needs to be told and expressed to individuals, because that's the real purpose of the right to bear arms. And if you start giving up arms left and right, pretty soon then the citizenry would be at a huge loss, a huge disadvantage if it ever came to the point where they would have to fight. And I certainly hope it doesn't come to that point. But having said all that, Jim, here's the problem. We live in a country today that is so strongly demonically influenced through everything from some of the video games that are out there and the dabbling in the occult by many of our young people. And so if you give them easy access to arms, you're going to see more and more violence happening in our schools and elsewhere. And so that's one reason parents have to really be on top of it, and not just on the gun issue, but you need to be aware of what your kids are taking in at the schools, in the virtual reality programs, on their computers, everything. Good parents know what their kids are taking in, and they stay on top of the situation.
And I think one more thing is the police should be attuned to troublesome people and not go 35 or 40 times to a household and never make an arrest. As a retired federal lawman, so many flags went up down there in Florida that were missed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree, yes.
Ron, thank you for the call. We're just seconds from the break, so Roy, you hang on. You'll be the next call right after the break. Our number here is 800-733-9829. Gary Kaa is with us today. He's founder and director of Hope for the World, and his website is Gary Kaa. That's K-A-H, GaryKaa.org. He does have information there pertaining to his research, his quarterly research document that he puts out each week, or every quarter. And also keeping you abreast on a number of important issues. So again, his site, GaryKaa.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. An information operation has been carried out on the American people for many years to brainwash the American people against American ideals and philosophies. The goal is to undermine our constitutional republic and move us toward socialism, progressivism, collectivism. In 1954, the Rees Committee put out a report on foundations, and they found out that some of the biggest liberal, progressive, socialist foundations in America were using millions and millions of dollars to rewrite America's textbooks and to brainwash America's children into embracing the idea of not individualism, but of collectivism. Socialism. That was in 1954, and then in 1983, Ronald Reagan commissioned a report called A Nation at Risk. The report said if a foreign nation had done to our educational system what we have done, we would consider it an act of war. Don't be a victim of an information operation.
Well, we're talking on countering the globalist agenda today. That's what President Trump has been doing since being in office, and very interesting to see what's been taking place. Matter of fact, last month in May, the Financial Times ran a headline, The New World Order, Donald Trump Goes It Alone. Interesting to see the stance that he has taken. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Roy has been calling from Bayside. You're on the air, Roy.
People have lamented that legislate. Both federal and state, are so large that it's hard to mobilize a majority to do something really radical against the enemy. Like, it'd be hard to get 218 congressmen to vote to cut off permanently all funding to the United Nations if they didn't have the support of the president. But anyway, certain committees of Congress, like the House Committee on Un-American Activities in the past, or back in the state of Washington, there was a strongly anti-communist state legislative committee, seemed to make some headway in exposing things like the United Nations and communism and other things. Is there any chance we could get congressional or legislative committees nowadays to try to go on the offensive against the communists and socialists?
I think that's begun to happen under the current Congress. And some of the congressmen, like Nunes from California, they're taking a lot of heat. I mean, we need to pray for these individuals because they're under constant attack. And it's difficult to make headway when you've got people who refuse to cooperate, even though they should be cooperating. And, in fact, tomorrow is going to be a big day. We might find out some things later today because Nunes was supposed to receive certain information from the Justice Department. And, of course, anything they've gotten in the past, you know, you've got like 80% black on a page where everything's been blotted out, and so you can't hardly make heads or tails out of anything. And so the problem today is you've got certain people in the Justice Department, the State Department, and some of these other federal bureaucracies that are actually running the show behind the scenes. And even though Congress has the authority to find out what they're doing, it's just almost impossible. It's like pulling teeth to get the information, and it's all taking a lot of time. And I think that's intentional because they hope that if they can get to the midterms and put leftists back into Congress, that, you know, all this will be over. And so they're dragging things out. So the best thing you can do, people from all around the country, if you have congressmen especially who lean left, write them and let them feel some heat from you and let them know you are not pleased with the fact that they are dragging their feet and they're being obstructionists on these investigations. I believe a lot of dishonesty has occurred within the highest levels of the Justice Department. President Trump and some people around him are trying to root that out in Congress, but it's very slow going. So pray for these individuals, but also help support the members of Congress who are on board and send some strong letters to those individuals who are dragging their feet.
Thank you. And while there are some there, Gary, we're also seeing this Congressional Progressive Caucus promoting socialistic values that have been gaining in resistance and anger against this president and forming coalitions there as well.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? Even though I hate to see that overall, the more left they go visibly, that may end up backfiring on them because some of these people have become so radical that you just hope that enough American people wake up that they vote the other way come this fall.
Judy's been holding the longest.
I hope that. Go ahead.
Judy, go ahead from Waukesha. You're on the air. Hello, Judy.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I wanted to just tell you, I want to make a comment and ask a question if he agrees. Is this all that he's talking about, this globalization and then George Soros types and so forth, is this not just a plan for slavery once again? When we took those people over in boats to America just for our purposes, and the wealthy people on those beautiful plantations, the slaves worked for them. If they have their way, the wealthy will control again.
Thank you, Judy. Gary, is this about control?
Well, ultimately, it is about control. And I'd go a step further. Ultimately, it's a spiritual agenda. And when I was researching this movement and was involved in two organizations that were actually pushing it, I saw what percentage of people involved in these kinds of activities were actually also involved in the occult, in what we refer to today loosely as the New Age movement, involved in Eastern mysticism, going into altered states of consciousness. I'm talking about people sometimes with doctorate degrees, you know, some powerful people. The chairman of the Nobel Prize Committee was the first name on the letterhead back in the 80s of the World Constitution and Parliament Association. You've got one person was the former U.S. Attorney General. He was one of the vice presidents of that organization. So you've got all kinds of heavyweight people from all around the world, major players who are pushing this agenda. But when it's all finished, if they can have their way, then they would be in control of the situation. And again, many of these people are given over to occultic forces. They're actually involved in some of them in direct worship of Lucifer. Most of them don't go that far. They simply are involved in dealing with spirit guides and going into altered state trances, that type of thing. But I know most people are just shaking their heads probably right now thinking, are you kidding me? Are you serious? These people really are into this. I'm telling you, they are. And you've got secret societies, some of them in Masonic circles,
Gary, we're down to
involved in spiritism, pushing this agenda. We need to be aware of that.
Do we have just a minute left? We're going to try and squeeze in Bill from Florida. You're on the air, Bill.
Yeah, the question I have is, do you think that the globalists will try to use what Trump is doing, fighting them, to crash the world economy?
Okay, tell you what, that's all the time we have. Do you believe that the globalists are going to try and crash the world economy, Gary?
I believe they actually won a trade war, and so that's why as soon as Trump says anything, all you hear is trade war in all the major networks, because they want to blow this up into a trade war and try to collapse the system and blame it all on Trump. So he does have to move very cautiously in that area, because they would love to blame everything on him, even though he's very well-intentioned on this. He has to be careful.
Bill, thank you for the call. We are out of time. Gary Kah with us, joining us here for a second day. And his website, Gary Kah, that's K-A-H, GaryKah.org. Gary, so good to reconnect with you here and to just get your take on what's going on here as it relates to this globalist agenda.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
And folks, again, remember what Gary shared earlier. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. God's told us in his word what's going to unfold here in the present. We can trust him. God indeed is in control.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.